Temporomandibular disorders can cause severe pain and discomfort that can be temporary or last for many years. More men than women experience TMD, and TMD is seen most commonly in people between the ages of 20 and 40. It's the most common cause of facial pain after toothache. It's frequently seen in primary care and in dental practices. According to some authorities, as many as 75% of the people in the United States population will at some time have some signs and symptoms of TMD. Are you suffering from inexplicable pain? Can it be that you or someone in your family may be suffering from TMD right now? Today I have with me a dentist who's dedicated most of his practice to finding solutions for this painful condition. You don't want to miss today's show. Go Healthy for Good starts right now. Welcome to Go Healthy for Good. I'm Dr. Nerida and I'm glad you've joined me today. Go Healthy for Good is live every Monday to Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We're on Facebook and Twitter at Go Healthy Live, and our website is hopetv.org/gohealthy. We're talking about temporomandibular disorder today. Symptoms of TMD disorders include headache, ear pain, dizziness, fullness of ringing in the ears, and that's only the tip of the iceberg. In just a few minutes, I'm going to have a very informative conversation with a specialist in the topic. But first, let me share with you this amazing story that illustrates what TMD is all about. Watch.
I have had headaches, particularly migraines, for as long as I can remember, ever since I was a little kid. My son is 12, and all he's ever known is, Mom's gonna have a headache, and she could have this headache for 2, 3, 4, 15 days. If they make a drug and market it as a headache treatment, and some drugs that aren't marketed as headache treatments, I have probably tried it, including receiving Botox injections every 6 months. I've had nerves in my neck blocked by radio frequency, antipsychotic meds, Benadryl, you name it, I've probably tried it. I missed school events, I missed athletic events, I missed family get-togethers. I would get angry faster, I would lose patience faster. My husband had to pick up more of the slack. And I came upon, you know, the studies. One said, go have a forehead lift and get your head, the muscles in your forehead cut, and the other said, go to your dentist and see if you have TMJ and or sleep apnea. And I chose the dentist. And I was ready to just sob in relief because finally somebody was giving me an answer, and it sounded more promising than any medication I have taken. Since treatment for sleep apnea and TMD, I have completely eliminated all of my headache medications. Now I sleep better, I feel better, I'm not missing out on family events. I can't stress enough that if you've tried everything else and nothing works, really, what do you have to lose? Go check it out, because it probably is the key to what's bothering you.
Joining me today is Dr. Rod Willey, a general dentist who studied functional orthodontics from pediatric guided growth development to neuromuscular occlusion to treatment of obstructive sleep apnea. Welcome, Dr. Rod.
Thank you.
Now tell us, we're talking specifically about the temporomandibular joint today. It's a little unusual, this joint. Can you walk us through how it functions and what makes it work?
I sure can. I want to thank you for inviting me onto the program here today. It's exciting to talk about a passion of my life, and that is the treatment of temporomandibular joint disorder. It's said that we are wonderfully and fearfully made, and boy, that
Indeed.
Is so true in so many areas, even including something as small as the joint that is located right in front of our ears. And the temporomandibular joint is a joint that functions multifacetedly so that we're able to grind our food, chew our food, open and close, and to be able to speak and just function. It's one of those things that's kind of like the thumb. You don't pay any attention to it until it hurts.
You don't. That's
and
right.
So it is with this. When we start having a dysfunction of the temporomandibular joint, and to a syndrome called temporomandibular disorder, or TMD, then all of a sudden we become very aware of that joint and what it can cause.
Indeed. Now, why is it prone to become dysfunctional? I guess it's a busy little joint, really, when you think about it, but what causes it to dysfunction so commonly?
It's a busy little joint indeed, and in fact, what its purpose is to be able to locate your lower jaw in its best position so that your teeth can fit together the very best. And when all things are functioning correctly, then the teeth and the muscles all match up and everything's happy in there and it aligns correctly with the joint. But if we have something that's misaligned, either from a missing tooth that's taken out and teeth drift, or maybe they just came in a little bit wrong and one side's a little higher on it than the other on the bite, or your upper teeth are maybe back a little further, and the joint, the mind will tell the muscles to get the back teeth together, and it'll do it. The muscles will obey, even if it kills them, and many times it does exactly that because of trying to find that function and that perfect occlusion to get the bite just exactly where it needs to be. And so doing, then it causes a lot of inflammation problems, not only with the joint itself, but also with all of the muscles and a scenario of problems that come along with that whole thing.
So this joint actually moves this way as well as opening. So it probably is prone to, well, it's at the mercy of the muscles around it. Now,
absolutely.
I think we have a graphic of those muscles. So why don't you walk us through some of these muscle areas that are associated with
it? Yeah, so if we look at the joint itself, what happens is the mind will tell your muscles to get your back teeth together. If the muscles are not lined up with how it would want to be with the teeth, for instance, if your teeth are hitting in the front teeth first, the muscles will pull your jaw back and lift it up to get your teeth together. And so doing, think about what that does back at the jaw joint. When you see that joint right in front of the ear, so if this is the skull and your lower jaw is here, the muscle function goes back and up. It'll encroach the space where the disc is at that fits between the condyle of the lower jaw and the skull. That disc moves back and forth, very similar to a kneecap. And as the muscle pull goes back and up, it encroaches the space where that disc is at, pushing that disc down and forward, displacing the disc, or you might say dislocating the disc from the muscle pull pushing it up. When that happens then, and you begin to open, it'll be dislocated. As you begin to open, there's finally room for that disc again, and you'll hear a pop as it goes back in place. So that's that popping sound that you hear a lot of times, and a lot of people have a cracking or popping that goes on as they're opening and closing or chewing. That's actually a disc being displaced out of position, and you hear it as it comes back in place. So if you start chewing, and you happen to chew just right on that disc, and it pinches the disc because of the space, encroaching the space, then when it pinches the disc and it pushes the disc out of position, now it's an irritated disc, and it can swell. If it gets swollen, now it takes more room than it did before. If it's swollen too much, you won't be able to open your mouth very wide for about a week or so because it's too swollen and the disc doesn't have room. Therefore, you go around with a small opening, and after about a week, the inflammation goes away, and then you're able to open. You hear a pop, it comes back in, and then you're able to function again.
So it makes it hard to talk and to load food into your mouth and all the things that you need your mouth for. Is there pain at that time, or is it just sort of stuck?
Yeah, so unfortunately, it goes much further than just simply the joint itself. But it's located right in front of the ear, so the muscle pull is not only pulling your jaw back and up, squishing the disc out of position and down and forward, but it has a pull backwards that puts compression against a very thin plate of bone that's between the joint and your ear, compressing that bone into the ear space. Now as it encroaches into the ear space, it'll cause a ringing in the ear, an itchy ear feeling, a clogged ear, sometimes dizziness, sometimes hearing loss, sometimes just simply pain, and a person automatically, logically, thinks that they're having an earache. So then they go to their ear doctor and have them take a look, and the ear doctor looks in the ear and sees no infection or anything and says, nope, nothing wrong with the ear, you're fine. Well, that would be true It's not the ear, it's actually compressing the bone into the ear space, so it's actually the joint in front of the ear causing all of those things.
So it's internal pressure and nothing that can be seen on the outside.
Correct.
Now, if we go back to that graphic, we also see some muscle above the joint. What's going on there?
Yeah, so if you think about it, these big old muscles right here on the side of the jaw that you can see in that graphic, called the masseter muscles, they're the ones that have to do all the work in pulling the jaw back and up to get your teeth lined up correctly. Remember, they're always putting this function together to align the teeth.
Right.
So when it goes back and up to try to get that correction, if they have to pull too far out of place, then it's like trying to lift something and you got your arm way off to the side and you're out of position trying to lift it. It's going to cause chronic fatigue of the muscles. And so before long, these masseter muscles right here on the side of the jaw become very fatigued. When they are fatigued and they start pulling on other muscle groups, the main ones that they pull on is these big wide fan muscles on the side of the head called the temporal muscles, creating then this fatigue to try to help the load from the masseters, creating fatigue on the temporal muscles. The temporal muscles, when they have chronic fatigue, then they begin to cramp, and that's translated into headaches. And so you find these people with headaches that's all in here, and all of a sudden they're going like this to try to rub those headaches out, and maybe they're rubbing their face just to try to get this muscle fatigue out of their muscles here on the side of their face. Doesn't end there, because it's a domino effect. So when the masseters have to get muscle pull and grouping muscles, pulling up here into the temporal muscle, that's a very large fan muscle. It has fibers going forward, fibers going backwards. When they begin to hurt here, then it's going to pull in behind the eyes, and it can pull on the muscles behind your eyes, making your muscles behind your eyes go sore. When you go outside in the sunlight, you have to filter sunlight by squinting. Squinting is muscle action. Mm. If those muscles are sore, you're not going to want to be out in the sunlight. You're going to want to wear sunglasses or stay in a dark room where you got this headache behind your eyes. You put your hands over your eyes, you're rubbing your eyes, and you just feel horrible because of this headache that radiates from the temporal area in behind the eyes.
My.
But it doesn't end there.
It doesn't.
It's a muscle domino effect. So when the muscles behind here are there, it can cause a tenderness of the scalp, and then pressure headaches in the back of the head in the occipital area, making these big old muscles in the back of the head go sore. When they go sore, then you can end up with headaches in the back of the head, and you're rubbing your head and rolling around, and you're pushing on these. And those muscles, when they're sore, they pull on the neck muscle. When it pulls on the neck muscle, then it makes your neck muscles go sore. It can also be just on one side. It doesn't have to be bilateral. It can be that you're having pain only on one side. If the muscle pull is different and it's really pulling on one side more than the other, then you're going to have maybe headaches and fatigue and earaches maybe only on one side. If you have a neck sore that's only on one side, you'll tilt your head to that side and lift your shoulder up. Why? Because it shortens the neck muscle. No sore muscle wants to be stretched.
Right.
You have a sore arm, you'd rather have your arm in here than out here because it hurts to have it stretched.
Right.
A sore neck, when it doesn't want to be stretched, you're going to tend to pull your shoulders up and have a little forward head tilt.
Mm.
And you can imagine what that does to your posture. So it doesn't stop there.
Let's take a break. We're going to have to come back to this. Well, this is a great program we've got today. Coming up next, I'll meet you in the kitchen. Don't miss it. We'll be right back.
In the heart of Christ, where reigned perfect harmony with God, there was perfect peace. He was never elated by applause, nor dejected by censure or disappointment. Amid the greatest opposition and the most cruel treatment, he was still of good courage. But many who profess to be his followers have an anxious, troubled heart because they are afraid to trust themselves with God. They do not make a complete surrender to him, for they shrink from the consequences that such a surrender may involve. Unless they do make this surrender, they cannot find peace.
The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold.
Togo, Nigeria, Iran, Canada, the United States, emails from around the world from Hope Sabbath School members. It's truly amazing to see how God is bringing a worldwide family, His people, studying His Word together. We hope you'll be part of Hope Sabbath School as we study deeply into the Word of God. Join us for Hope Sabbath School.
Welcome back to the kitchen. Justin, what have you got?
Today we're making cashew milk.
Cashew milk?
Yeah.
That sounds interesting.
It sounds interesting and it tastes delicious.
Really?
Yes.
Ooh. So did you grow up on cashew milk?
Yeah, when I was a teenager, my mom switched us from cow's milk to cashew's milk. She started making it herself. Yeah.
Wow. Fancy that. Well, show us what we do.
Okay. Very simple recipe. Let me tell you what's in it. It's a cup of water, a pinch of salt, and a sweetener. Now, it can be a couple tablespoons of honey, a couple tablespoons of brown rice syrup, or 2 to 4 chopped dates. I kind of like the dates option myself. And then a cup of raw cashews or almonds, and a teaspoon of vanilla or almond extract. Okay, and you just put it all in a blender. Blend till smooth. And then ingest.
Pour on your breakfast.
Yeah, drink it straight, pour it out on your cereal. Yeah.
Sounds lovely.
So I'm going to...
And I guess if you wanted to keep it nice and white, you might use the honey or the...
Yeah, that's true. But
if you didn't mind the color, I guess you can use the...
Yeah.
Brown rice syrup's kind of...
I just love dates so much that I don't mind my milk being not perfectly white.
Yeah, right.
So I've got the water in there. I'm going to pour my cashews.
Yum, yum.
Got a little bit of vanilla extract here. Put that in. Got my dates. Dates. And just a little pinch of salt in.
And that's it.
That's it. Just blend her on up.
Sounds great.
Get on there. Okay.
That's the hardest bit of this recipe.
That's right. That's the hardest part.
You know, dates sound great for a bachelor.
Yes, I could use some more dates.
You could use some more dates. Okay. Ladies, he could use some more dates now.
Now, normally you would have electricity for your blender.
Right.
So you would just liquefy this recipe on up. You would pour it into your lovely little...
And how do you tell when it's smooth?
Well...
Do you see the bits on the side of the blender?
Yeah. You just... It needs to look like milk.
Let's give it another try.
Let's see if our electrons have... There we go. I'm going to go ahead and stop that. Because we're using dates, you're going to have to blend it a little longer because you've got that date material that you need to get blended. But if you're using sugar or honey, it wouldn't matter. So we're going to pour this out, and you might see some little bits of date in there, but it's only because I didn't want to take another 10 minutes blending stuff.
Really smooth.
Yeah.
Oh,
but when it's done, you'll know it. It'll look like milk. So
excellent. Oh, that's so thick and creamy.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, me too.
All right.
I think this will be the first time we've had actual cups to clang together.
Yeah. Well then, let's drink to our good health.
Let's do it. Ding.
Cheers.
Yum.
That's really nice. You could even thin that down some more, couldn't you?
You could
just
probably
wanted it as a like a milk on a cereal.
Mm-hmm.
But if
this
I was
really
having
nice.
That on my porridge, on my oatmeal.
The flavor is so rich.
It is.
It really satisfies that milk craving, you know?
Right. When I was a little girl, we used to get thick milk cream on the top of our milk. This is
kind of like
milk.
That. Mm-hmm.
Well, in just a minute, we'll continue our interview with Dr. Willie. But first, let's watch this video.
From time to time, almost everyone has experienced facial pain. It's possible that the pain is related to the joint located in the front of your ear, called the temporomandibular joint, or TMJ. For over 15% of Americans, it happens chronically in the form of headaches, tenderness around the jaw, and clicking or popping noises when your mouth is opened. Your dentist will conduct a thorough exam that may include x-rays to determine the cause of the pain. To help relieve pain, your dentist may suggest a mouth protector to keep you from grinding your teeth, recommend muscle relaxants or exercises to reduce muscle spasms, or prescribe anti-inflammatory drugs if arthritis or other problems are the cause. Many things can cause facial pain, which makes it difficult to diagnose and treat. If you suffer from facial pain, speak with your dentist or physician. For the ADA Dental Minute, I'm Dr. Maria Lopez Howell.
Rod Willie was telling us about the whole sequence of events that happens when someone has TMD. So tell us about posture. You mean that little joint can actually change our whole posture?
Yes, it sure can, because of the muscle pull with the domino effect. And when the domino effect pulls on one muscle group to another, once it gets down and it starts pulling on the neck, then the way that you keep from having a neck that is sore is you want to compensate by lifting your shoulders and having a forward head tilt. In so doing, it makes the trap muscles in the back go sore. And so then you're stretching your back out, and you want to get a good back massage, these kinds of things.
Right.
And when the trap muscles go sore themselves, they pull on the spinal column. There's the key. When it pulls on the spinal column, then it can create chiropractic problems, pinching nerves, and causing tingling of the fingers and the toes, many times misdiagnosed as fibromyalgia or carpal tunnel syndrome.
Oh, my.
Yes.
So it can appear as many other things. So how do we get to the bottom of it?
Well, basically, when we go through, and a person can self-diagnose really pretty easily on this. From the picture on the screen, you can see the signs and symptoms that are there. So if you're having a lot of headaches that are on the side of the head, facial fatigue, limited opening that is in there, sore neck, headaches in the back of the head, ringing in the ear, itchy ear, all the ear issues that are there, sensitivity to sunlight. And as I'm talking with patients, many times they'll look at these and they'll say, I have every one of those.
Wow.
And when you do, when you have, you know, there's a phrase out there that says, when you hear the sound of hooves, think of horses, not zebras. And when you have, it's just common sense, if you have all of those symptoms, then likely you have temporomandibular joint disorder.
Wow.
So how do we treat it?
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
How common is this? Because that's a whole cluster of symptoms.
You know, there is, they claim, the research has shown that one out of every four people have some temporomandibular joint disorder dysfunctions. So there's a lot of them. Now, how many of them cause a lot of problems? Millions, most of which goes undiagnosed. It'll kind of fit under the radar, and a lot of dentists maybe not understanding this whole process and how this works. They just think, yeah, it's a little popping jaw, having headaches, but they never really connect it.
Right.
The physicians always think, well, we need some pain meds, muscle relaxers. If it's a bad headache, then they're thinking, well, maybe there could be a tumor or something, so they get an MRI, and then they start talking about, well, it's just all that fatigue and stress the person has, so we're going to get them to a psychologist or a psychiatrist, and it goes all down these lines, never really connecting it to temporomandibular joint disorder.
So what are some of the common, well, how would you treat it?
So basically what we do in our office is we say, okay, muscles, you win. Where do you want to be? Okay?
Okay.
Remember in the beginning, we said that the muscles will always adapt to the bite. Wherever your lower jaw needs to be to get your teeth to fit together the best is where your muscles are going to get your jaw to. So what we say is, okay, muscles, we're going to get the bite to adapt to the muscles. We're going to ask the muscles where they would like to be and find that out. We do that by putting on something called a TENS unit. A lot of physical therapists and chiropractors use them. They simply relax muscles. So if we put a person on one of these, different frequencies, same thing. It makes your eyes blink and your lower jaw move. And when you're on it for about 30 to 40 minutes, when you're done, you feel like you had a good face massage.
Right.
Feels pretty good.
Yep.
If you had a headache, it really helps. It kind of relieves that as well. But we get you on there for 30 to 40 minutes, and we're going to put some material between your teeth and allow your bite just to kind of rest where it wants to. Then we take that material and we send it to a lab, and we have an orthotic, a mouth guard that fits only over your lower teeth that fits in place in an aligned, balanced bite according to how the muscles would like it to be.
Hmm.
So now think about what happens when you have the appliance over your lower teeth in place. The mind's going to do what it always does. When you bite down, mind tells the muscles to get your back teeth together. Now we have something between your teeth so that it's going to hit sooner. So instead of your jaw getting jammed and up, squishing out the disc out of position down and forward, now it stops early, leaving room for the disc and keeping that to where it's in function.
And you wear that orthotic only at night?
Or we start off by wearing the orthotic all of the time, day and night. You take it out to eat with. You can be practical about it, and certainly eating with it is like eating on a block of wood. You take it out to eat with, but just like you would have your arm in a sling most of the time, the more you wear it, the better off you're going to be, the sooner we can get rid of symptoms. So you'll wear it all night and as much as you can during the day. Once we get all the symptoms cleared up, which takes about 2 months, 2 to 3 months, then we gradually move you out of the daytime wear to where you're only wearing it at night as a night guard that is in there.
And then you would always wear it at night, or would you even get to the stage where you no longer need it at night?
Well, it depends on the situation. Sometimes people can go into a corrective phase where they would have orthodontics or maybe crowns building up on their back teeth, or something that would be a second phase to correct the problem. And short of that, wearing at least several times a week, once it's healed, once the muscles are healed around it, then it'll actually take place. But also, it's not just the joint that heals, because it no longer puts compression against the back, against that bone. So when the jaw is not getting pulled back and up, it no longer puts pressure on the bone behind the ear, allowing the bone to decompress and your ear issues go away. The masseters no longer have to do all that work. The pain goes away here. Headaches go away. Sensitivity to sunlight goes away. And so forth and so on all the way down until you're completely through with your symptoms. Hmm. A lot of times the headaches, amazingly, people that have suffered for headaches, I had one lady suffering for headaches for over 10 years. And we had her resolved in less than a week with not having these headaches anymore because it was completely related to the jaw.
Wow.
Yeah.
Before we take a break, let's look at today's medical news report. The headlines today: are depression and anxiety making you grit your teeth? Is your headache caused by TMD? And college entrance linked to orofacial pain? Previous studies have associated depression and temporomandibular joint disorders, or TMD. In an attempt to estimate the effect of symptoms of depression and those of anxiety on the risk of TMD pain, a population-based study was done in Pomerania. Subjects with symptoms of depression had twice the risk of TMD joint pain. Subjects with symptoms of anxiety were found to have both joint and muscle pain. So, depression was linked to joint pain and anxiety to muscle pain. But don't just treat the symptoms, consider the cause. A Brazilian research group assessed the contribution of TMD to headaches in 40 people. They found that muscle and joint pain was twice as common in headache patients than in those without headaches. It seemed that the TMD was more severe in those with headaches. So if you have headaches, you might want to visit your dentist and ask for a TMD assessment. 55 high school graduates were assessed at two different times, 6 months before and then just 1 week before their college entrance exams. At first assessment, the results showed 36% of the group had TMD. 1 week before their exams, over 50% of the students had DMD. The most common symptoms were joint sounds, headache, and neck pain. Perhaps fitting a bite block should be part of their curriculum. I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben, and that's today's Medical News Report.
Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
I love learning about my ancestors. It makes me feel like I have a place in history. And I always tell my family, the more you learn about your past, the more you understand the present. But the past doesn't have all the answers, especially about the future. There's so much uncertainty and so much fear in the world today, which is why I'm so happy that I found something that brings together my past, my present, and my future. I know that no matter what happens, there is a plan. And this gives me hope.
Welcome back to Go Healthy for Good. And I know Sean and I look like we're a couple of penguins, but he's told me that we're doing something with these eggs today.
We are. We're going to pick them up.
Okay, we're picking them up.
All right, let's get warmed up. Hopefully you're off the couch and we can get this body warmed up and get prepared, all right?
All right.
So let's hold the ball here. You can hold anything from a can of beans, whatever you want, any object, and we're just warming the core up going to the side. You may hear some cracking, some of the bones making some funny sounds, but don't let that discourage you. Twist. Let your feet or your foot pivot a little bit, because the first exercise that we're gonna do, we're gonna incorporate that pivot in each move, okay? Mm-hmm. So let's do this about 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. All right, the first exercise we got, again, you're holding that object that you use to warm up, all right? In this case, we're using an 8-pound medicine ball. You can get these really cheap. All right, we're gonna start with a squat, all right? With the ball right here by the chin.
Okay.
Right? And as we come up, we're gonna go on our tippy toe. All right? Squat down again, we're gonna go to the right side, and that pivot that we did on the beginning, we're gonna use it here. Again. All right? Opposite side. All right? There you go.
I'm from New Zealand, we drive on the other side of the road.
You do? All right.
I'm having trouble with left and right still.
That would mess me up.
Though I don't drive on the wrong side of the road, it's all right.
You sure? All right. So let's go. One more time. Down, up, tippy toe. Down. Let's go to the right. Let's go to the left.
Hey, I got it.
There you go. Let's go back to the middle. All right. So each one, all right, you're going to consider it a part of the rep, all right? So each three is considered one rep. All right. You just keep going. Stand all the way up. Work the calves a little bit. Pivot. All right. Working a little bit of core and definitely working a little bit of your quads.
Yes.
Let's put this down for now. We're going to use that for our third exercise. Let's work. I mean, Thanksgiving is coming, and We get a little gluttonous. So let's work
these.
I do. I have a weakness for pies.
Pies.
We won't talk about it right here.
Pies.
Okay. Mm. So we're going to have this right leg down and this left leg here, right arm here. Work in the abdominal area. And you could have your left hand down.
All right.
And bring it up. All right. Now, the key again is anytime you're doing an abdominal exercise like this, you want to blow the air out of your abdominal region as you come up. All right, let's do two more on this side. One and two. Let's do the opposite side. Again, let's use your right hand as a stable point. Three, two, and one. Go. One, two. Now, don't rush these. Blow the air out. Contract your abdominal area. And if you want to make it more challenging, you can come up here and then push off of your elbow and come back down. Push off the elbow and back down. Blow it out. One more. All right. Again, working that abdominal area.
Ooh.
Okay. So let's take our medicine ball again.
Okay.
And what we're going to do is we're going to target that area again. It's called a roach, all right? No offense. So we're going to put your legs up here from your knee to your ankle parallel to the ground.
All right.
The ball goes back here. Put your right leg up. And as the leg goes down, just this right leg, as it comes up, touch it here. Just that right side is working. Are you with me, Dr. Narada? There you go. See, she's not talking,
it's
right?
It's gone real quiet over here.
Three. Come on. Two. And one. Relax. All right. Then we're going to switch sides, all right?
Yeah.
Where your right leg is now parallel to the ground, and your left leg is going to go down. Three, two, and one. Go. One. Two. Let's go to five, three, four, and five.
Whoa, that one's a hard one.
Oh, yeah, it burns.
Oh, it does.
It burns, but it burns so good, though. All right?
Yeah.
In anticipation of Thanksgiving. You got to get your workout on.
All right? I see. Yeah.
Maybe before Thanksgiving or after Thanksgiving, at least you got a couple exercises that you can do.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's right.
So now, what I do want is, you know, the typical person eats about, did you know, about 11,000 calories on Thanksgiving?
No. 11, don't believe you.
And averages about 30,000 calories by Sunday. So from Thursday to Sunday. So get off the couch, get something, you know, get some exercise going, but don't fall into that trap because all that hard work that you've done, it can get set back by all that food, all right?
So yeah, sounds very scary.
11,000 is a lot. It's a lot.
I grade 4,500.
Seriously?
Yeah.
For Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
In that little body?
No, I read it.
Oh.
I read that that's what people typically eat.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be interesting. Yeah, so no, let's go down.
Not this little body.
I would say you. I'm impressed. Let's go into the right side. And let's go over to the left side. You definitely want to cool down with these exercises. You're going to feel your heart rate going up a little bit. Come back to the middle and come up nice and slow. The last thing you want to do is finish off your workout without a nice cool down. We just did one exercise, but in previous shows, we've done multiple cooling exercises. Mm. So just incorporate it. It takes a couple seconds.
Yes, it does. And it's well worth doing to get... Oh, it's awful having that achy feeling the next day. So if you cool down, you don't get that. In just a moment, I'm going to answer some questions that you have sent me during our previous shows. Keep them coming. I love them. But first, here's another Ageless Advantage spot. Enjoy.
Trying to lower your cholesterol? Ordering a different sandwich for lunch might help. A 2009 UK study compared the effectiveness of two whole grains, wheat and rye, on lowering cholesterol levels. The study found that rye was more effective in lowering blood cholesterol levels. So when you are at the lunch counter next, ask for a lettuce and tomato sandwich on rye. This small change could make a big difference. Choosing whole grain rye bread is another ageless advantage.
previous episode or you want to download one of our recipes, then visit our website, hopetv.org/gohealthy. Now, I want to thank you for your questions on Facebook, and I'll answer some now. Caroline asked, is it dangerous to get a colonoscopy done every year? Well, Caroline, if it's recommended that you have a colonoscopy every year, it means that you've probably had a polyp, you've had some problems, you've got a family history, and therefore, I would say it's dangerous not to have your regular screening. So I would encourage you to do that. If you didn't have a problem, then you'd probably be on 5-yearly recall. Garrett called, does eating fruits and vegetables give you clear vision? Great question. Our eyes are particularly sensitive to phytochemicals called lutein and zeaxanthin, and we find those in the highly coloured fruits and vegetables. Pumpkin is a great one at this time of the year, but yeah, all the berries, the grapes, all those nicely high coloured fruits and vegetables, really good for the eyes. Someone called and asked, what's the difference between juicing with a juicer and putting your fruits and veggies in a blender where the fibre is not lost? And that's the whole point. It's the fibre. So Justin just talked about getting 8 carrots into his juice for breakfast this morning. Well, if you put 8 carrots into a blender, you would not be able to eat that in one meal. So it's like juicing is a way of really concentrating a lot of nutrients into a glass. But the downside is you do lose the fiber, and fiber has some real value. So it's a balancing act, and it depends why you're blending or juicing. So that's a great question. Imelda called and asked, at times I feel like I have sand in my eyes. What can I do to get rid of this? Well, Imelda, I'd say make sure your eyes have been checked. Get someone to examine them. But if it's just a dry eye problem, you can actually get fake tears, a little bottle, and you can use fake tear drops. But be sure to get your eyes checked and make sure that there's nothing serious going on with the surface of your eyes. And Magnus from Nigeria wrote on our Facebook page, I enjoy watching your health program. It's educative, informative, and interesting. Thanks, Magnus. Don't move. We'll be right back.
In our current series on Hope Sabbath School, we're looking at the big picture of Scripture, growing in Christ and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. We'll be looking from Genesis all the way to Revelation, the big story of God's good plan for each one of our lives. We hope you'll join us for Hope Sabbath School and see what God can do to bless your life.
Every hour of every day, someone somewhere is praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Seven, seven, seven. Praying at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. 7 days a week.
Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise Him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to Him on the 10-stringed lyre. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all He does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of His unfailing love.
Get the exciting in-depth Bible study you crave. It's as easy as joining the Hope Bible Study class. Week by week, Pastor Derek Morris and the Hope Sabbath School class use Bible guides that are practically at your fingertips. Log on to hopetv.org, click the link for the Hope Bible Study class, download this week's lesson, and join our faith-enriching class. You can also download past and future lessons and study a variety of other topics. Go to hopetv.org and click on the Hope Bible Study class.
Now, Rod, you were telling us about the treatment and fitting an orthotic on the lower jaw, but it takes 2 or 3 months often to get over the symptoms. Tell me, a lot of that is muscular, would having massage therapy during that time hasten that recovery?
A lot of times it does, and there are descending problems from the bite descending down the chain of muscle reflex all the way down. There are ascending problems, ascending up the chain from the spine and up the chain. Massage therapy certainly helps for it to relieve the tension that is in these muscles, getting rid of the cramping by hitting the trigger points and really helping to drive out, doing very similar to what the tensing does, but helping to drive out the lactic acid out of these muscles so that they can heal and go back to normal. So certainly it helps, and there's many times we do prescribe massage therapy.
Ah, and what about exercises? Because muscles often loosen up or become more limber with exercise. Yeah. And some people prescribe exercises for TMD. Do they have a role as well?
They do, and depending on the exercises that you're doing, of course, every time you're chewing, you're exercising.
True.
There is times where it depends on what exactly the problem is. If there is a tongue thrust, then sometimes putting your tongue up to the roof of your mouth and pressing on it hard up in there kind of helps to pull away some of the tension that's coming from there and helps to break some of the tension. There's also a relationship between that and sleep apnea that's a very interesting relationship that is in there. In fact, about 65% of people who have TMD also have sleep apnea. And the reason for that is because when you go into deep sleep, your body's best way of fighting off a obstructive sleep apnea problem is to clench and grind. Right. And you can imagine if you're clenching really hard and grinding all night, what that's going to do to all your muscles, mm-hmm. as well as wear on the teeth, which gradually gets your bite to where it closes down further and
so
further.
So which comes first?
Yeah.
In that situation, that would be a hard one to tease out.
Yeah, and I think likely it is the obstructive sleep apnea that magnifies the problem of temporomandibular joint disorder. And the reason is because the response to the sleep apnea is a clench, which jams up the joint. So a lot of times it may have started because of an obstructive sleep apnea problem causing this area that's in here. But night grinding and clenching many times is due to having an airway issue.
Hmm. Now, a dentist would probably pick up night grinding and clenching because of the wear on the enamel, right?
Yeah, it's very common. Most dentists are going to look at the occlusion, at the way the teeth fit together, and they're going to see wear patterns on the teeth. And most of the time, they'll just leave it right there. The majority of them won't really take it to the next level, but they will decide to do a mouth guard for a mm-hmm. patient at night. But if they do, and they're putting them just into a regular mouth guard, they're really not asking the question to the muscles, okay, where do you want to be? They're right. just putting one in there to protect the bite. So it's protecting the teeth from grinding.
Right, right, which I guess has some value.
Sure.
Well, friends, remember to call now and share with us your question about temporomandibular dysfunction. Go and grab your phone. The number's 855-400-HEALTHY. That's 855-400-4325. Or text us at 301-960-5144. Go healthy for good. We'll be back after a short break, so stay right there.
Because of you, Hope Channel is reaching lives around the world.
If it wasn't for Hope Channel, today we would just be doing the regular old routine, going to church and not getting any more out of it. I would actually feel bad because of the fact that I couldn't just pick up my Bible like I do now and read it and get more out of it than I got out of it before. It was the same old thing over and over again. Now when I read the Bible, I'm so filled with joy for knowing the truth and the answers have been given to me.
Hope Channel is changing lives because of the support of viewers like you. If you'd like to assist financially with the mission of Hope Channel, call us at 888-4-HOPE-TV. That's 888-4-HOPE-TV. Or write us at the following address.
Thank you.
Circumstances may separate friends. The restless waters of the wide sea may roll between us and them. But no circumstances, no distance can separate us from the Savior. Wherever we may be, He is at our right hand to support, maintain, uphold, and cheer. Greater than the love of a mother for her child is Christ's love for His redeemed. It is our privilege to rest in His love, to say, I will trust Him, for He gave His life for me.
Welcome back to Go Healthy for Good. We're taking more of your health questions, especially questions related to temporomandibular dysfunction, or a good question for our dental expert here. The number's 855-400-HEALTHY. That's 855-400-4325. Call us right now. Now, Dr. Willie, how is there any way to prevent getting TMD?
By one thing that, yes, there is several things. One thing that causes TMD is loss of teeth. So if you have a tooth that has to be lost and you do not replace it, what happens is the tooth behind the space leans forward into that space where the lost tooth is. The one in front leans back and the one above it will grow down, causing a collapse of the bite. And then your jaw has to compensate for that collapse of the bite, throwing you into these TMD areas or problems. Another one is to ignore a bite that is completely into what we call a crossbite, or the jaw has to go sideways to line the teeth up, throwing your joint into some issue problems with that. Another one is just simply losing teeth and then having orthodontics where they literally move the upper teeth back to close an overbite. And when they do that, if you have an underdeveloped lower jaw, and they remove teeth and just bring your upper teeth back, they're literally locking your lower jaw in position in jail. And then if you get anywhere, your lower jaw would like to come forward. It can't. Remember, mind tells the muscles to get those back teeth together. It hits on those front teeth, and it'll continually pull your jaw back and up, jamming up the joints. So sometimes it can be caused from the way the teeth were lined up from orthodontics.
Wow.
Yeah.
So your orthodontist can give it to you. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Let's
they can
not
also
go
take
there.
It away. So, you know, it just makes it important to have that understanding
and
of what to do with those teeth.
Holistic dental care, isn't it, really?
It really is.
Yeah.
It's holistic dental care. And a lot of times we have patients that come and they're like, oh, doc, just pull that tooth. I don't want to fix it. Just get it out of there. And they don't realize that just getting it out of there is never the end of the story, because of the collapse, the shifting of the bite, it can create problems that can end up costing a lot, tens of thousands of dollars to try to correct, and suffering for decades with a problem that could have been resolved early on.
Wow, that's quite a sad thought, actually.
Yeah.
Here is a text question. How can I tell if my child has TMD?
If you have a child that's complaining of headaches quite often, they're waking up and restless, that can be also caused from TMD. Children don't normally get headaches. And one of the first things that we think of when they are having headaches is checking the bite, seeing where they're at. Also, if you see them night grinding, if they're grinding their teeth a lot at night, a lot of children do have night grinding, then you're going to want to pay attention to see if they can open wide, if their jaw's popping, if they're complaining a lot of earaches or headaches, again, a good chance they're having TMD problems. So to correct early would be to try to protect their teeth and have them seek occlusal evaluation from a dentist that understands TMD at an early age.
So how would we find a dentist that does understand? Is there specific qualifications that they might have?
Yes, there is. I mean, a lot of they have gone through some extra training. You don't learn very much of this in dental school.
No.
But you do in extra classes that are out there. So you're going to want to seek a dentist that has a perspective of treating the joint according to how the muscles want to be evaluated. There's two schools of thoughts that are out there. Like many things, there's more than one way to treat things. I am what you call a neuromuscular dentist. In other words, we evaluate the muscles the way that the muscles would like the jaw to be, and we treat according to the muscles. There's another group that treats according to the joint, but if they're treating to just exactly to how the joint is shaped, then they may get the joint in the correct position, but if the muscles aren't happy with that position, watch out, because you're still going to have a lot of facial fatigue, headaches, and issues that goes along with that.
Right. Well, that makes good sense. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's been fascinating hearing about this. And if you have temporary mandibular joint dysfunction, I hope you've learned a lot more about it today too. Above all, I hope you've learned that there is help available. So find yourself one of those neuromuscular trained dentists or someone who specializes in the joint. And if they are able to help you, then you can get the quality of care that you deserve. Thank you for joining us on Go Healthy for Good. We look forward to seeing you right here, same time, next time.